This episode is brought to you in partnership with Supply Chain Manitoba and the Manitoba Trucking Association, working together to support workforce development and a stronger future for the industry here in Manitoba.
Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubinek.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Today we have on Big Freight Systems, and I'm very excited because Big Freight is in Steinbach, which is also an RCEP community, which we will talk about later on. So today we have Priscilla Voloshin. She is the senior corporate recruiter for Big Freight. Welcome, Priscilla.
Thank you. Thank you, Leah. I'm very happy to be here.
So we'll get right into it. Can you tell us about your company, location, what you do, and all of that great stuff for anyone looking?
Yes, we are located in Steinbach, and we are in the business for 76 years. So it's a long time. So we have very solid partnerships. We have drivers work with us for, let's say, more than 20, 25 years. We start a few years ago in 2018, we start our international program. So we receiving drivers and mechanics from other countries as well. Yeah, and we keep being like based in, like our head office is in Steinbach. We have yards all over Canada, and we have also office in and our warehouse in Winnipeg. But yeah, our operations all comes from rural Steinbach.
Okay. And the focus is on transportation, trucking.
Transportation. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yes.
We
are in the trucking business. We are trucking logistics company. Yes.
And what is the size? Like, how many people would you say sort of an average does the company employ altogether?
Yes. Today we have around, 250 or okay. 260 employees. Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's a good size.
Yes.
So Priscilla, how many would you say are newcomers to Canada within that? Do you have a guesstimate of how many workers are newcomers versus Canadians permanent residents?
Oh, you mean that we are bringing?
Yeah, that you have. So the 250 people that you currently have working
for
you.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's interesting. I have this somewhere here in my computer, like the specific data, but I would say pretty much maybe 30% international. Yeah, at least. Yeah, we receive, because we have foreigners coming to us from abroad, and we also have, because Canada is multicultural, right? So we have people all the time from other countries applying, like from that are living in Canada already, or they have an open work permit, or they just became a PR. And they apply. But yeah, I would say from like really foreigners with work permits, I would say around 30%.
Okay. And did you guys start recruiting people from abroad because out of a need? And like, what was?
Yeah, there is a shortage. There is a labor shortage in the industry for many years. That's fact. But we noticed that foreigners also bring a lot of diversity to our company. A lot of they bring in on their experience back home, the commitment. It's been an incredible journey to have them here. It's been, yeah. So that's how we benefit from that, like from all the diversity and the commitment as well, because they There is a lot of turnover in trucking industry because it's ups and downs. And for the normally the like the we notice that our foreign workers, they enjoy being with us, they will stay with us, they will become a permanent residents after they become owner operators even. And they know they can build a career here.
And I think that's really important, right? Like, you know, when you say that you want people to build a career, you're not just looking at them to stay in that same job for 20 years. You want to see them grow with the company, right?
Yes.
That's really important for people to understand that there's more than just one job that they can take there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this is, you know, especially important right now because it just sort of came out here. The Steinbeck is an RCIP community, which, Lindsay, I've already forgotten. What does it stand for? Rural
Community Immigration Pilot.
Yes. And so Big Freight is part of that. And so one of the big demands right now is in trades, mechanics. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what they have on the list. And the great part about RCIP, and I want Priscilla to talk about how her company initiated the community to get RCIP. But the greatest thing about RCIP for our newcomers to understand is that it allows the community to nominate you, and you don't have to go through the Manitoba nomination process, which is very competitive right now. So you skip that. So the community of Steinbeck, if your employer sees fit, they would ask for the community of Steinbeck to nominate you, and then you go straight to permanent residence. So like you're passing go off of Monopoly. And that's a really good thing for communities right now, because since the provincial nomination program is so highly competitive, it's a very strategic move for the city of Steinbeck to be a participant in RCIP.
So a person could apply, work at Big Freight, and then they can kind of get nominated through Steinbeck to get that PR so that they can stay with your company.
Yes, they needed to be under one of the, how can I say, the occupations that are in the that were chosen to the in the program. The thing is that let's say right now under the SCAP, the occupation that would be the most connected to Big Freight would be for hiring would be mechanics, heavy duty, because at this point they are not. The RCAP has told us that they are not adding long-haul truck drivers, but this is something that we are in conversation, because our long-haul truck drivers, they bring a lot of good things for the community. Like they bring in their spouses, they bring in the kids are studying here, the spouses are working here, they banking, they shopping, like they live here. They are long haul truck drivers, but they are in the community. They build the economy. So that's something we are in conversation now to see if the IRCC would be able to add their NOC under the occupation needed, because the NOC 7 is included for transportation, mm-hmm. but not the truck drivers yet. So that's something we really wish to have it.
Right. Yes, and Priscilla's right, because you have to make sure that when you look under RCIP and Steinbeck, they actually have a list of their occupations and what the employers can, who I should say, who the employers can support for a nomination within the community. So yeah, you just can't go in and say, you know, employer can't go in and just say, you know, I have this employee, I want you to nominate them. That employee actually has to be employed under that certain NOC and tier in order for that to happen. So that's something that, everyone should be aware of too.
Yes.
So, you know, you'd mentioned, you know, and I know Steinbeck is a very multicultural community. We have a lot of newcomers moving there. You're an RCIP community. You know, you mentioned, you know, you have 30% have, you know,
international.
Yeah. How does that work? You know, like I said, I work in the realm of language, helping companies set up language programming. What types of language levels are needed, and does Big Freight offer sort of supports to help them grow their language, or what does that look like for your company?
Yes, we require them to have minimum Canadian language benchmarks 5, which is normally they attest to the with the IELTS exam, and they doing that specifically for when we applying under the provincial program. we also hire with different pathways. Let's say we have our Francophone mobility employees, and they needed to prove that they speak French for the program and that they were educated in the French language. But for us, they needed to prove that they can speak English, that they can communicate in English. So not necessarily they give us an IELTS. Some of them will give, but some of them will have like a Cambridge language or some other type of evaluation that they can show. And that we interview them in person, even when we do our recruitment missions. And so we make sure they speak English. Some of them will need that they will have like a intermediate level that still needed some more, a little bit more practice, especially when you arrive in the country. So for those, and it happens also even with the MPMP, if they prove through the IELTS that they have a level 5, it doesn't necessarily mean that they can be confident of speaking English. Yeah. So it's so for those workers, we've been in since last year, we did a partnership with the MTA and with what was the name of the
EESE? Was it in Winnipeg there?
Yeah, but no, it was English at Work, EAW.
Oh, yeah. English at Work, yeah.
We made a partnership with them, and they provide an amazing teacher here. And we provided the place and the hours and the students. And so we had the drivers and mechanics from Philippines, from Belarus, from Morocco, Russia, many different countries benefiting from those classes. They would have classes twice a week during 1.5 hours per day. And they built confidence. They felt also more included in the community. They made a friendship. So it's not only the English part of it, but it's included a lot more when we offer those type of service, how can I say, additional support.
Yeah. And thank you for saying, there's two things I want to touch on there. Number one, thank you for saying, you know, just because someone says they have, I always say this, a CLB 5 doesn't mean they actually do. Because I say to people, most people study for the test. They're not studying to get better at English. They're just studying to get a mark like anything else. And it depends on language. It depends on, honestly, their reading skills, their comprehension skills, their technology skills, you know, so I tell people that that's just a guideline. You know, you can't say, well, I have a CLB 7. I should be. No, no, no. You might actually be a 5. You just might be very good at tests and finding information, you know?
Yes. And sometimes native speakers, native English speakers, they will fail on IELTS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because of the format of the test is not necessary because of course, they speak English.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. I had to write my IELTS for my RCIC, and yeah, that was amazing when you had to go write it. And I was just like, so I have to say that, you know, even though you are English, or I am an English, you know, that's my first language, it still was actually pretty challenging. So I, you know, I suggest anyone to go write it, and that kind of gives you where you're at in terms of speaking and writing. Yep.
And also too, you talked about how the language created more inclusiveness. And I think a lot of companies don't realize that a lot of employees are feeling left out and not connected to that workplace because they're not getting opportunities to connect with people outside maybe their first language, right? When companies, you know, just group people together with the same language, you're not giving them opportunities to meet other people, to meet new friends, to learn English so that they can grow with the company and then stay. You know, they look at that company as a short-term company if they're not given those opportunities, I think. So I love to hear that you're creating that environment where people want to stay.
Completely, yes. Yes, that's our main goal. Like, we need retention, right? We want them to stay. We want them to be happy. So they will, when you work with happy and with passion, you work better.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
So Priscilla, you know, kind of sticking with assisting people in terms of how you partnered with that one agency, and you seem pretty aware of the different immigration programs that are available. You talked about the French Mobility, you talked about Manitoba PNP. So when you sit down with your workers, are you able to assist them to identify perhaps the best immigration strategy, or do you leave them to themselves to kind of figure that out? How does your business help them, if they can, to figure out which stream to immigrate through?
First, when they come in a specific pathway, depending when, because we go abroad for our recruitment missions, and normally we're doing that together with Destination Canada, with the government, or with the province of Manitoba, or with the economic development, Winnipeg, and all that. So we depending where they are from, level of English, the background, they can be connected to a specific pathway, right? One program. So we leave this very open to them. We just give the guidance through the IRCC website, or we give referrals. Like we tell them, oh, you can always contact like the economic development. In our missions, we had someone from the government always like talking to them from the, let's say, from the province or from the IRCC, in the case of the Francophone. Like we give them access to different organizations too. Like there is one Francophone organization, SEDAN. Yes.
SEDAN.
We work very close with SEDAN. And for the Francophone, so they always have different contacts that they can, but then in the end, they make their decision.
And I think that goes back to what you both are talking about in terms of language, because I have certain people that come and talk with me, and right away, I actually know their ability if they're able to guide themselves, or if they need to contract someone out to assist them. But, you know, if you can speak and read French or English very well, then I usually say, you know, follow the website, follow the guides, and you'll probably be able to figure this out yourself. But yeah, if you aren't strong in English or French, then I think that puts you at a strong disadvantage in terms of being able to guide yourself. So there again, I think it's really important to either know English or French, because it's actually going to help you in your immigration in terms of if you're able to do that yourself or not.
Completely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So in terms of, we're talking about employees, does your company at all, when people are first moving here to the Steinbeck area, do you help them sort of find a place to live, or sort of send them the support? So what does that look like if someone's coming here? How do they settle, I guess?
Yes, we have a program in place for the internationals. So we have some international, we call like international housings here, that we offer them affordable housing during the time they are looking for the permanent housing, or during the time they, specifically for the drivers, they needed to take a 6 weeks program with the MPI to be eligible to actually get their class one. So during this time, we offer this affordable accommodation here. And then we also, we provide a vehicle that they can, for house, so they can split with themselves, just for them to be able to go to school and come back, because they don't have, we don't have public transportation yet in the Steinbeck area. So we provide like an arrival orientation, all the onboarding support, like we're bringing them to get the social insurance number, the open banking accounts, like all these first steps you need to take when you come to a new country, we help them. We have a program in place, like to help them with all this during all those stages.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's great to hear.
Yes.
So I've got a question in terms of Canadian work experience, because you go abroad, you recruit, and plus in terms of the different positions that you have within your company where AST, you may not have to have really Canadian work experience, but when you're doing truck and transport in terms of long haul, you may have to have it. So what's your thoughts on foreign workers and Canadian work experience?
For our foreign workers, they have a very specific training with us that it's connected to all difference of with all the safety aspects and all the Canadian driving specifications that they don't that they need to learn, right? And we have they needed to do a 6 weeks class one program, right? 244 hours to have the mount and the full license with us. Once they finish that, they have a full orientation at Big Freight with our trainer. And they are giving the truck and together with with a mentor. Like they needed to be training for some time with one of our trainers. Like that is not any specific, but some of them we train during 3 months, some of them 1 month, but will depend until the trainer feel they are completely ready and they feel confident and ready as well. Then we can start we can actually give them the truck and they can be on the road by themselves or in a team, but they always go through a very strict training, so we want to make sure they are fully prepared, because depending again where they're coming from, the regulations can be more strict or less strict, so they need to learn how it's done in Canada. Some of them will come with an incredible experience, like driving all around Europe and the mountains and all the regulations that that region requires. And some of them with a lot of experience in Saudi Arabia. And that's a whole, the backgrounds are different, but we make sure we standardize our training here too, that they are prepared 100% to be in the Canadian and US roads, like they are cross borders.
So yes. You don't really have to come with Canadian work experience. You will train them on the job to hear Canadian regulations.
If we are hiring them, let's say from Morocco or from UK or Germany, how can we ask them for a specific Canadian experience? We provide that experience here.
Well, and I think so many companies, when they expect that, there's so many transferable skills, right? So,
yes.
You know, people got to stop saying they want that Canadian experience, because it's mm-hmm. not, if people have the skills are skills, you know?
And I think it's good that you guys are proactive in that, you know, providing that Canadian work experience, and you tell them that they need that Canadian training. Maybe it's not work experience, but it's Canadian training, and you adhere to that and you take their experience and you put them together, and, you know, it's a great worker that you have.
But we also required back home that they needed to have, I would say, they need to have a minimum of 3 years of experience, like, back home. So that's important. And most of our drivers, they have even more than 5 or more than 10 years of experience. Like we have a lot of drivers also from the Philippines, and those they come like with more than 10 years. It's really nice to see there. Mm-hmm. And to exchange, right, experience between the driver from abroad and our domestic drivers here.
No, it's good. So can you give us an example of sort of maybe like a success story of someone who maybe started out in one position, but has grown into another position? To show people sort of what the opportunities look like.
Yes, we have a driver from the Philippines that came in one of our first groups. Maybe he came in 2019, something like that. And he... today he's a fleet manager with us, and he's dealing a lot with the Filipino drivers, and he has learning all the different aspects of trucking, not only the driving itself, but everything else. And we also have a driver from the United Kingdom that he came and he showed amazing skills driving and with attitude and everything else all together. And nowadays he's a trainer. So he's training drivers, new drivers coming in. So there is a different opportunities. We have also other drivers who became, who stay with us for a while, become permanent residents. And today they are owner operators. They have their own trucks. And yeah, they're for sure successful stories.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I think people have to remember too, you know, you're a transportation company, but transportation still, you know, has human resources, has marketing, has accounting, right? You know, there's, you know, lots of opportunities. Do you find when you have a lot of people coming, do their spouses also work for you sometimes, or do they find it fairly easy to find work within the Steinbach area? That obviously will depend on their language, of course, too.
Yes, depending on language factors, but we always connect with them and ask it, oh, what's your spouse use it to do back home? Mm-hmm. If we would have any opportunities and it would be the right fit, for sure, we love to be able to help them and engage them in the culture, in the company. And normally it's not being very common, because most of them will bring their spouses later on when they become permanent residents. Okay. So, and then the spouse will, or let's say the spouse skills or professional areas are different. So, but we've been asking more and more, especially when, we have since 2023, like a larger program that we hiring for from many, many different countries. And then, it's always important for us to know what's the spouse's goals in the country. And if we can help, for sure. We give referrals, even from our, like for our Francophone, we've been in contact with Sedan, like I mentioned, for the spouses, like if they can help the spouses in getting jobs and all that. And the immigrant services here as well, just to give the support for the whole family.
And we'll put a link to Sedan on too, because they're the French versions of our Community Futures Partners in Manitoba. So I used to work with Sedam long years ago. So very familiar with them. So you talk about, when you assist the spouses, so on and so forth. And you've also talked about, in transport, if I'm correct, if I correctly heard you say that you need like 3 years experience. So when you are recruiting people, what does that look like? What does your interview process look like? What are your minimum requirements? And you could pick like being a mechanic, automotive service, or a truck and transport as an example, like whatever it is.
Let's do mechanic, because it's an RSIP. So that's sort of a, okay. What would that process look like?
Oh, mechanic. Yes. For mechanics, we make sure they have been heavy duty mechanics before, like working with trucks. Many of them will have their education, right, as professional mechanics. And we ask for reference letters. We contact some of the previous employers. We make sure they can speak English, and that they will fit under the regulation of the program they are coming to. Yeah, basically. And then we ask them, of course, why they want to come to Canada, their goals in Canada, if they intending to stay with us here in the province, if they understand the process, the immigration process, and also if they understand how cold it can be in Manitoba. Like, that's all aspects together. Yes.
So I work with Apprenticeship Manitoba, because that's what I do in my profession, and in terms of I deal a lot with skilled trades people. So it's not so being a mechanic, or now we call it automotive service technician, is not a regulated trade. So just so everybody out there knows that you don't have to have what we call in Canada your red seal or your ticket for the province of Manitoba. You can still work. And what you're saying is that you probably don't need your ticket for the province of Manitoba, because you can't get that until you're already here, so on and so forth. But as long as they have a certain number of years of experience and they have the capacity to speak English, then you pretty much look at them as somebody that's being hireable to work for your company.
Yes. When I say mechanic, but it means like the service the servicer we call, or service technician, like they are under the I think it's a 72410.
That's what it is.
And so they don't come as the main mechanic or anything like this here. They assisting with the shop.
So that's a heavy duty equipment technician. That's the one you're, and that's what you're more looking at. So that wouldn't be, you know, so we should even cite that. That's not, you aren't looking at someone that can fix cars, even though an engine is an engine and you can learn, but you're looking more for the preference of the larger, like, you know, of heavy duty mechanics in larger trucks and so on and so forth. That's kind of more of the people that you're looking at. And I should point out to all of our newcomers that are listening, or people that want to be employed, let's say, by your company, is that be sure you're listening to Priscilla and that you just aren't throwing resumes in for the sake of it. If you really don't have the skill set that she's talking about, then it's not going to, you know, you're going to kind of waste your time and you're going to waste the company's time. So be sure that you're listening to what she's saying in terms of if you do have experience and how your language ability is, because I often think that's important when we have you guys on the show, is to our podcast, is just to ensure that our listeners are aware of their own skills and ability and what you're asking of them.
Yes.
And how important is it in terms of, you know, because I'm sure you get, you know, lots of resumes. How important is it? Like, how can someone stand out? Do you like people connecting with you on LinkedIn or giving you a phone call? Or is it better just to go through the website, apply? I guess, how can someone sort of make a difference? But obviously, to make sure they've answered all the things that you require, the experience, have everything correctly in the resume.
Everything, yes.
Yeah.
I would say, first of all, send your resume by email. Like, we have our email, like, if you are from abroad, we have the email international@bigfreight.com. Then you can send your resume there. And if we have a mission in some of the regions that you are, we will be contacting you, and stay checking out always our Facebook page, our like all our social media. That is information there too. But I would say email is the best, because later on, after we evaluate the resume, then we will be in contact, because sometimes we have workers, they find my phone, right? And they calling, and it doesn't work, because we needed to access you before, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't have the time to be picking up like the million calls. So it's important, because after the pre-screen, we give them a confirmation that for our meetings, and then after the meeting, if they are accepted, then we start a WhatsApp group, and we have different WhatsApp group with different for different missions and different, what can I say, pathways that are coming in different years. So it's and then we keep in contact with them. But email would be the best option with the resume.
Way. And if someone had questions, email would be the best way to connect.
Email.
Well.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Email.
You know, I think Priscilla brought up a really good point, Leah, and let's mark this down for a future episode: Canadian etiquette. And, you know, I think as Canadians and permanent residents, we're pretty broad people where we don't really have very many rules in terms of communication. However, I have to agree with Priscilla, because I have people like my clients, let's say, for example, or prospective clients, and they'll call me 3 times in a row, like one after another. And then I'll finally pick up feeling that it's an emergency. I don't know who's calling, so I'm going to answer my phone. And then they're like, "Hi, I was wondering your services," right? Whereas my phone automatically says, "If you would like to know something, please leave your name and phone number or email me." And so people need to follow that direction. Just as Priscilla said, there's an international email that people should email. You aren't to WhatsApp or call repeatedly. So I think, you know, a great point. I love that point because we all need to learn a little bit in terms of this is the way how Canada works and this is our expectation, right?
That's so true. Yes.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Priscilla.
No, you're very welcome. Because for some cultures, call would be the best way, right? So let me just call and see. But also because of the high volume and the need of pre-assessment, it's a call will not make the will not help for sure. Yeah. It needs to be like by email and then wait for the time because we will reach out to you by email. It's not sometimes it's not going to be in the same day, but we will. Yeah.
And I think, like you said, it's really clearly understanding what is expected and really making sure you have all that in your resume. And a lot of that yes. sometimes is language, right? And understanding, like you said, the etiquette and the expectations.
Yes.
And yes, no, I think I added it to the question list. I have a quick question. Do any of your positions require French? I know that's a new pathway, but is there any positions where you want employees to have French?
Oh, you mean, oh yeah. Like for the drivers, it's always good if they have the French too. We have we work a lot with in the East, like with Quebec and the areas. And so French is always a plus. And especially if they come under the Francophone mobility, then they needed to have French. Mm-hmm. But English is like, mandatory is essential. Yeah. And I would say, but then this would not be some positions that we hiring abroad. It would be something like after they here for years or like we have people from here, let's say our dispatchers, if they speaking other languages is always very helpful. After the an example is after the Ukrainian the new visa they created, like the ones that after the Russian war. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of Ukrainians coming to Canada, and a lot of them were drivers, so it was very important for us to have people in the office speaking the language as well, Ukrainian. So mm-hmm. it's always can shift, you know, depending of what's happening around the world, you need different languages.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to, are almost out of time here, but we do have one final question we like to ask, and I'm excited to know because it's Steinbach. So do you have a favorite rural restaurant or even a rural place to visit? It doesn't have to be Steinbach, but if there's something there, a place you would recommend or somewhere even in Manitoba that you enjoy going.
Okay, let's see. In Steinbach, Steinbach actually has a few local restaurants. They're very nice to come and try. One restaurant that is very Canadian that we always even referral when we bring even our international drivers. It's Sky High is really close by to our office here. And it's a good place. We have, let's see. Steinbach, there is a few different places. We have there is an English pub as well, the Sowing Beans. And for our drivers from Europe, we always say there is an English pub there. And there's a few different places in the area in Steinbach, or let's say Brutal. I'm trying to remember here.
And Mexican restaurants as well, right? There's a great Mexican grocery store in
Is a Mexican grocery store. Is what else we have here?
You have a lot of great, like, mm-hmm. different, and that's what I really like. Yep. Like you said, you've got, you know, sort of a Canadian place, you've got an English pub, you've got
For the businesses, yes.
Yeah, have, like it's a lot of great options for people.
We have also it's like a Latino food. I think it's Pita Hut, they call here. They have, I know the owner, I think he's from Cuba. And so we have, we have a few different, we have Chinese restaurants, we have Indian restaurants. Yeah, a lot of German places from the more related to the Mennonite culture, right? In the we have the Mennonite Heritage Museum also close by here.
So you know what we'll do is we'll put up the Steinbach Chamber of Commerce, Steinbach Economic Development, because and I had a podcast previous to this and Life on the Prairies, and I did talk about Steinbach in that. I actually featured the city of Steinbach because it's such a great community, right? So I try and pick those communities that are really welcoming of newcomers. And so just knowing Steinbach, and Leah and I have been to it a number of times, is that yes, people need to check out the community of Steinbach. It's not only is it, it's an RCIP community, it has, it's so multicultural that if you are
an amazing arena.
Yes. Oh yeah, that's right too. It's our beautiful.
Arena is beautiful. We also have a restaurant inside. I forgot the name now, but it's everybody saying awesome things about the restaurant. I didn't have a chance to go yet, but everybody's is talking very well. So it's there's a lot of things to see here. A lot of parks, beautiful parks, especially in the summer, in the fall. It's very beautiful too. And yeah, that's lots of things to do.
And you're in a great location because you're close to the city, but you're also close to the east where you have, you know, the White Shell and the camping and the lakes. Yes. And you're actually close to the border too, right? If people want to go to the States, like you're very actually perfect location to have that rural life, but you could still do so many things as well.
And here we have everything like that's the basic needs. Like we have hospital, we have food stores, big ones like the big chains, right? Walmart, Superstore, we have Sobeys. Yeah, so we have everything. We have a McDonald's.
Your high school. Yeah, your high school is amazing too. Your
we
high
have
school?
A huge high school, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
So we just check it.
Few different elementary and middle schools.
Yeah, we'll put that all on there because if the listeners can't tell, how three of us are really excited about the community of Steinbach.
It's a great town. We are kind of a main hub for all different small communities around us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of French communities around us, like La Broquerie, Sanan. Yes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. So, thank you, Priscilla, so much for coming on today. You've really showcased Big Freight. You've showcased Steinbach. You know, like I said, obviously everyone can tell we're very excited about that region. It's a great place to live. Thank you to all our listeners. Listen, you know, reach out, follow, go to their website. We're going to have all the links in our show notes. So if you are interested in applying, you can go there to find the links and emails to apply. And yes, thank you once again.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Anytime you need, we are here.
Thank you, Priscilla. Until next time, everyone, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.